I thank the Lord to be here this afternoon. I thank the Lord for His great mercy. And I just want to leave a testimony of I am a happy child of God. It's a wonderful, I recommend a life for Jesus. It's exciting and it's blessed. My name is LaDonna Adams and I am from Neosho here locally, and we welcome you and are glad that you get to visit Monarch and be here. That just, it tremendously blesses us. Monarch is in our blood and we appreciate Monarch. Well, I have written on the board, every breath I take. This is a message the Lord has given me way before Monarch, and I want to give it what the Lord has for us, so desire that you pray for me during this. I'd like to start out with Genesis, the second chapter, and the seventh verse. It's very familiar. We know that the Lord spoke into existence the world as we know it and all the beautiful things therein, and He formed and made different animals and birds. But God did something different with a human. It was a little different. And I want us to examine that. So in the Genesis, the second chapter, in the seventh verse, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." I look at that, and that's very precious to me. He took time to sculpt and to shape and to create. The others He spoke into existence, but He wanted to feel the human. He wanted to, it was a very intimate, if you want to say, a very precious part of Himself that He was giving when He formed man out of the dust, out of the earth, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He didn't do that with any other. What a beautiful picture this was, that first breath, that first breath. And I've thought in, the Lord has blessed my husband and I with four beautiful children. I'm very thankful for them. But when as they were born, after they were born, that breath, there was such a climactic moment waiting for that first breath. And you realize without a shadow of a doubt, it's God that gives it. They can stimulate, they can rub, they can pound, they tap, but they're waiting for that breath because it's God-given. It is a God-given thing. And do you know, I don't know, I didn't look up, somebody can if they want to, how many breaths we take before we die. But none of us know when we're going to die. But there is a time when we will take our last breath. And the Lord takes that. We can't hold our breath for a long time and think we're going to die that way. It just isn't possible. But the Lord takes it. And I have been honored to be at my grandmother's side when she took her last breath. And how very precious it was. But it's a God-given thing. So she lived to be 97. So imagine how many breaths that she took. But each one of us have a breath that we take every day. And it's an unconscious mechanism that our body performs without us even thinking about it. That breath is from God. And the God who gave it is the God who we need to give it back to. So I guess that's the burden I have today. So if you'll go with me to Psalms, the 139th chapter, David thought about that breath too. He was very aware of the God that he served and the intricate parts of the body, the intricate parts of the soul, the mind, the spirit, and he thought about these things. I don't know if he was sitting outside watching the stars at night. When did he think about these things? Did he think about him sitting on his throne? Where was his time of meditation? But he had some beautiful words that go with this. So I want us to go at 139 of Psalm and the 13th verse. It says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. When I had not taken my first breath, you were aware of me, Lord, before I ever took a breath. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Do you realize when we go into slumber at night, we do not think about our breath. I don't think about it. I go to sleep. Our breathing is different at night when we're sleeping. But then we wake up and we still have our breath with us. Is that not a beautiful thing? But it's God-given. Once again, I can't get over that. And while we have breath, why don't we use it to praise His name? In everything we do, in every aspect we're in every place that we're in, I believe that that is what we are called to do. That every breath we take, those that is conscious and those that is unconscious, Lord, help it to be to your glory, to your honor, to your majesty. So Job, but there are things that can be said with the breath. Cursings can be said with the breath. Blessings can be said with the breath. But Job was aware of this. In Job, the first chapter, it says, the 20th verse, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Every breath he took was for God's glory. And that is very challenging to me, because he met with some very traumatic situations, not just one, but over and over and over again. And yet he was willing to say, God gave me my first breath, and God can take my last one. I will give it to him. And when we go into that second chapter, his wife was frustrated with all this. And she said, you know, you just curse God and die. Just curse God and die. And Job had something to say about that. It said in the 10th verse, he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips or with his breath. Everything was to glorify him. And you know, I have this little saying that you don't have to have a perfect life for life to be perfect. Your life doesn't have to be perfect to live a perfect life. And what that's saying is, look at Job. His life was not perfect. Far from it. But do you know, he had a perfect life. He had a successful life. It was to his good. It was to his well-being. And you know, it still blesses us. The breath that he took, he didn't take for granted, oh Lord, just kill me now. He didn't take his life for granted. He said, I will bless thee. The psalmist said, I will bless thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Every breath I take is from you, God, and I want to give it back. You know, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, rejoice evermore. Do you know, every breath you take can rejoice evermore with the Lord. It can actually be a praise to him. I want to live a life that is so pleasing, that is pleasing to him, that every breath I take is to his honor and to his glory. So in Daniel, the 6th chapter, here we have a very imperfect life. I have been challenged by Daniel. He lived in a very wicked government. Does that sound familiar? Very wicked government. He served a very wicked government. He had to perform for them a very wicked government. A government that was very heathen, pagan. And he faced some things. You know, I've thought about when he opened his window toward Jerusalem in the 6th chapter, 10th verse. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. This man lived in slavery. He never earned a paycheck. He never had a family or children. And he was away from his homeland. Okay, think about all of those things. And it said he kneeled on his knees and thanked the Lord. That is a challenge to me, because his breath could have been, Lord, get me out of here. The sooner the better. I'm tired of dealing with these heathen people. And you know you're not pleased with it, so get me out of here. But it says he thanked God. Thanks before his God. And I want you to notice his breath when he was in that lion's den. So when the king arose very early in the morning, the 19th verse, and went in haste into the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, I'm miserable down here. The lions did not eat me, but you made the wrong call. And I think we need to have a legislation against you, O king. He didn't say any of that. He said, O king, live forever. And sometimes I get a little bit maybe put out or amused, maybe, when we get so caught up in parties and political machines. How did Daniel handle it? We need to handle it as Daniel handled it. O king, live forever. You want to say that about a president or two? It puts you in a very careful spot, because Daniel's breath was for the glory of the Lord and was for the thankfulness in his heart to get to live a life for him in a foreign land under dire circumstances. Life doesn't have to be perfect for you to have a perfect life. And it said, you know, we read that Daniel had an excellent spirit. But it was only because he took time to thank the Lord for the place that he was in. That's hard. That's hard, because we want to be out of it. We want our lives to be perfect. But sometimes the imperfections that happen in our life causes our perfections. And I appreciate that. So I want us to go into the New Testament. In the Acts, the 7th chapter, it's another breath that is kind of talked about a little bit, or implied for sure. Acts 7 and 54. This is when Stephen was being persecuted. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, now see, there's the difference right there. Being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And these are horrible things. We just think a hurtful word is bad. What about if they were throwing rocks at you with the intent of killing you? That is the point. That's what stoning meant. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. The last breath he was taking, he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That is a breath of victory. That last breath. I've thought about that. How very careful that is. What will our end be? When will our end be? We want it to be in victory. We want our breath to have, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lay not this thing that they're trying to hurt me with. I'm not holding them accountable for it at all. Don't put it on their record. They have other sins to deal with. Don't put this one on there, because I'm ready to be received of you. I'm ready to. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He drew his last breath in this life. And I thank the Lord that was done with victory. Do you know that's what we want? We want our every breath. Everything that it seems like that's such a thing to take for granted. But every breath that we have, let us use it to glorify him in every way possible, however it might be, whether it be words of encouragement, whether it's just living the life in a very dark place. Lord, bless. He will bless. So if you will turn with me to 2 Timothy. Well, let's go back to, this is part of it, but Acts the 9th chapter. The first verse, talk about breath. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Breathing out threatenings. Do you know you can use your breath for things that are ungodly, unwise, and foolish? I've thought about that. You can bless someone and curse them too. Same thing. It's a breath. How much better? But the Lord changed his breath too, if you think about that. He changed his breathing, and he was able to take every breath for the gospel and for the Lord after his Damascus Road experience. And we thank the Lord for that. But I'm just telling you, because his last breath is so much better than that first one of breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. The very thing that was hindering the church work, it was him doing it. He was doing that. But he had a successful end. So in 2 Timothy, I'd like to turn with me the 4th chapter. And the 7th verse. 6th verse. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. A breath. I have fought a good fight. That breath. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let our last breath be for God's glory. Let our last breath be praising him, thanking him, testifying of what he's done for us. Isn't that a much better breath than the slaughters and the threatenings that he had? The Lord changed him, and I'm thankful for that. I appreciate what that is to us, and this is the success. Actually, the first breath and the last breath constitutes the life in between. But that life can be up and down. May that last breath be successful for the Lord. May that last time that you breathe on this earth be for the Lord. I'd like to go to Luke, the 23rd chapter. Even our Lord, while he was here, he had a beginning breath. And he had a final breath. But his final breath was ushering into glory. It said in the 44th verse, 23 and 44, and it was about the 6th hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. In another place it says, it is finished. It is completed. Everything that I came here to do has all been sewed up. It is perfectly performed. I am ready now to be offered. I'm ready to be given to a God who gave that first breath. And that's what I want for each of us to have, the victory of that, to know that the Lord loves and cares. You know, there are times that we are going to be in places that we'll see grand things, say standing on a mountain. Use that breath to praise the Lord. Standing by a seashore, use that breath to praise the Lord. Being with a newborn baby, use that breath to to praise the Lord. Being by the side of a saint that's on their way out. Use that breath to praise the Lord for the life that they've lived. Maybe they didn't. Maybe someone just got saved. That breath is still very important. Let it be the success of that. When we come together, use our breath together to glorify the Lord, to praise Him for all that He's done. It's not to be taken for granted, even though it is in a way, because we don't. I don't sit and count my breaths per day. It's just not feasible, nor is it, it'd be foolish. But let everything that I do be to glorify God in all things. When I'm in my closet, in my devotions, my personal time, take time to praise the Lord for all that He has given you, for all that He has done. I appreciate your time. And don't waste it on, I've thought about the breath you use to talk about somebody. The breath you use to run down somebody. The breath you use to tear someone down. Like flying off the handle, an angry fit, telling them off, temper tantrum. Do you know that's a waste of breath? It is just a waste of breath. A negative comment, a negative thought. Lord, you gave me my breath, and I want to use it to glorify you. When you're tempted to even run your own self down, I've been challenged by that. Lord, you made me. Help me to glorify you in that. Help me to receive that and accept that, Lord, I am what I am because you gave that to me. I appreciate that. I desire that you pray for me.